Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're welcome along to Wednesday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Ronan O'Gara coming up just after 8. He'll be talking about what's happening with the Irish rugby squad ahead of their game with Samoa, which is now very much a must win with a bonus point ahead of that game on Saturday. We will talk to Louise Quinn at 7:30. Good night for the Republic of Ireland women's team. They beat Ukraine 3-2. Johnny Ward in studio with us as well.
Nathan, how are you?
I'm well.
Things are looking up for Galway. We still have no manager in football or hurling, but we do have Aaron Connolly.
Oof, yeah. Straight in there.
Could be the best player ever, 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 ever.
No never. Hype, though. No hype. No hype.
Ireland's greatest ever player. Would you ever. Put him in that category already?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. What can possibly go wrong?
You're buzzing, are you?
Absolutely buzzing. I'm going to Tbilisi.
Oh.
I initially hoped, you know, there might be a chance to see League of Ireland legend Jack Byrne. Scrutty stuff.
Yesterday's news.
Who cares for Jack anymore?
Wow.
Even though all his family are in Tbilisi. But now, the actual definite, it's not even a possibility, it's definite that Aaron Connolly will play some role, I think.
Will he start?
It's definite, I think.
We may have
ultimate
this debate.
Johnny Ward line.
Will he start? I think it's not far off 50-50 at the moment, but I still think he's slightly odds against.
Shane Hannan here as well.
Good evening.
So, listen, that's all great. It's important stuff. But really, there's only one show in town. There is only one show in town.
Rebecca.
We're not above this.
No.
Let's not kid ourselves.
It was in the news.
The Office.
It was in the news.
The Office.
It was read out in the news.
Day. I've never seen such excitement. Yeah. Not even when Aaron Connolly scored a brace at the weekend.
Yeah.
There was sort of a, oh yeah, that's nice. This was, oh my God.
Off the charts.
So.
It's a big murderer thing, isn't it? It's like you just don't know which way to believe.
And where's it going to go next?
Yeah.
Like, what happens next?
Forensic
files.
How
does this resolve itself?
One or two people are in their cars right now and they don't know what's happened.
So, I'll explain the situation. I was at home earlier about midday and I saw, and I don't follow Colleen Rooney.
Really?
Wife of Wayne Rooney.
Mm.
But I saw this popping up in my timeline a couple of times and everyone going, oh my God, this is incredible. So I thought I'd have a look. She put up an Instagram post saying,
you're going
to
read it
this
out?
This has been a burden in my life for a few years now. Finally, I've got to the bottom of it. Do you want the full thing?
Do we have
Do
time?
You want the full thing?
Go for it.
Let's go.
For a few years now, someone who I trusted to follow me on my personal Instagram account has been consistently informing the Sun newspaper of my private posts and stories, which means Colleen has two Instagram accounts. One for us idiots in the general public, where she just flogs stuff, and one for her actual friends. She didn't write that. There's been so much information given to them about me, my friends, and my family, all without my permission or knowledge. After a long time of trying to figure out who it could be, for various reasons, I had a suspicion. To try and prove this, I came up with an idea. This woman is a genius. Wait till you hear this. I blocked everyone from viewing my Instagram stories, except one account. Those on my private account must have been wondering why I haven't had stories on there for a while. Over the past 5 months, I've posted a series of false stories to see if
Fake
they
news.
Made their way into the Sun newspaper. And you know what?
They did.
They did. The story about gender selection in Mexico, made up. The story about returning to TV, made up. And then the latest story about the basement flooding in her new house.
Did
she
the Sun actually did they actually do a story on
well,
the basement flooding in her gaff?
Like, presumably.
Just a lesson to all idiots out there who actually take any interest in this nonsense. The reason it's in the paper is because people read it. You shouldn't care.
Yeah.
But I do love this story.
It's been tough keeping it to myself and not making any comment at all, especially when the stories have been leaked. However, I had to.
Unlike the basement.
Well done.
Now I know for certain which account individual it's come from. And that was the end of my reading of it. I went, oh my God, who cares? And moved on with my life. But about half an hour later, I noticed everybody was still... So I said, did I miss something here? And it turned out, lo and behold, I had missed something because there was a couple more lines. I've saved and screenshotted all the original stories, which clearly show just one person has viewed them.
It's, and this is a great thing,
it's Rebecca Vardy's account.
Now, this is where it gets tricky. She didn't say it's Rebecca Vardy. She said it's Rebecca Vardy's account.
So Rebecca Vardy, as you may have guessed,
right to reply,
is the wife of Jamie Vardy. Mm.
Did you know that beforehand?
I did, because she was on I'm a Celebrity. This is the sort of world Kevin Kilbane is going to be living in a couple of months' time.
Yeah.
This sort of, you know, highfalutin celebrity lifestyle, Hello Magazine, The Sun writing stories about you. It's all ahead of him.
It is. Do you think he's actually thought about it enough that, you know, anyway.
I don't know. It's hard to look past the dollar signs, I guess, sometimes. So this is out there. Rebecca Vardy, what have you been doing? Selling stories on your teammates. and your does husband's she need the money? Teammate's wife. So Rebecca Vardy responds to at Colleen Rue, who I'd say has had a major upsurge in.
Oh yeah, her phone is, you know,
yeah.
Practically
turn notifications off, Colleen. Mm. Yeah. She Instagrammed. Great day for Instagram. Nobody tweets anymore. As I have just said to you on the phone, I wish you would call me if you thought this. I never speak to anyone about you, as various journalists who have asked me to over the years can vouch for. Which would suggest, you know, that the journalists thought maybe Rebecca's someone to go to and talk about this.
Yeah.
If you thought this was happening, you could have told me, and I could have changed my passwords to see if it stopped. See, that doesn't make sense. I'm not sure how that would have proved anything. But anyways, we'll come back to that. Over the years, various people have had access to my Instagram, and just this week, I found I was following people I didn't know and have never followed myself. I'm not being funny, but I don't need the money. What would I gain from selling stories on you? I liked you a lot, Colleen.
Liked, not like.
No, I liked you a lot, Colleen, and I'm so upset that you've chosen to do this, especially when I'm heavily pregnant.
She is.
I'm disgusted that I'm even having to deny this. You should have called me the first time this happened, and then a little broken heart emoji.
Broken heart emoji.
That's what kills everyone. Yeah.
No, I was welling up a bit at the end.
Yeah, it was emotional. It's like the Wags episode of Black Mirror. It's like there's at the end of the Sky News article, when asked for comment, a representative for Vardy referred Sky News to our Instagram post. It's like Instagram is the source of this story. We just heard it in the News Talk News Bulletin as well. This is taken off. This is crazy.
Not sure it warranted being in the News Bulletin, but we leave that up to.
Pause. Like, how big a story is this?
It's
is
huge.
This big enough that when Jamie Vardy plays for Leicester next, he has to talk about this in his post-match match of the day interview?
Well, I did make the point, I hope Brendan Rodgers is called up on it, but Jamie Vardy can be assured of chance from opposing fans, shall we say.
What are the appropriate chance? I'm wary of asking. We won't be able to
I have
on the radio.
Nathan Carter, wagon,
wagon wheel.
Wagon wheel. Oh, yeah, I get what you do. Lads, wouldn't your heart go out to poor old Colleen? I feel so sorry for her, sitting in a Range Rover on her phone, slaughtering Vardy's wife. Those two have way too much time on their hands from walking down Beckenbauer. I don't think you can blame Colleen Rooney.
I think
she says is correct. That is a massive betrayal of trust.
I don't think Colleen is the worst, and I do find that the tabloid paparazzi type culture that unfortunately follows around these celebrities absolutely revolting. I think it's horrible. It kind of ruins their lives, and I don't know why people have any interest in it. But this is brilliant.
It's very much an English wag story, though. There's no interest in the Irish tabloids necessarily massively in the Irish wags.
It is quite an English thing. You know, there's like. Ireland is funny because you'd have these stories that like have never made the press, and they haven't made the press because there's some sort of an understanding in Ireland that we just don't really want or need this to be out there, and I think we've more respect.
It's naturally more private.
Yeah, and just a bit more respect for people. And
more of a paparazzi culture.
There is. We think of obviously Princess Diana and, you know, what her life was. And obviously a lot of these people do court the media publicity, but maybe Colleen Rooney does to a degree, but...
You were a man who started life in the written press. How much money would the Sun be willing to pay for a story that Colleen Rooney's
basement
has flooded?
What
is that worth? Maybe, I'm sure there's an algorithm that suggests every time you put Colleen Rooney in the paper, sales go up, online views go up.
I think if you saw the figures of the clicks on that article and say Michel Barnier's latest EU negotiations on Brexit, the clicks on that article, it would depress the life out of you.
What were you on about Colleen again? Sorry.
Nathan, that's not... I feel like
the tweets are already coming in. The replies and texts are already coming in.
As Imro Sports Broadcast of the Year 2019, I can't believe you brought that up. But since it's in the tweet, I'll read it out.
Here we go.
Analyzing this pointless spat between two Muppet wags is beneath you. Stick to the actual sports on the field, man. From Diddy and Cork.
Stop, Diddy, that's will not. You? This is the stuff that matters. Yeah,
lads. I had the "you're above this and I'm switching over" text typed out and ready to go. And then I paused and thought, what have I been Googling all afternoon myself? The Vardy v Rooney spat. I have put my high horse back in the stable, says Keith. Everybody's been doing it because the reaction to this has been insane. There's been a lot of memes. What do you call them? Memes?
Memes. I gotta be honest, I have
I'm
no...
I'm almost confused. Memes.
Go with memes, yeah.
Memes? No, end of saying no.
It's memes, yeah.
I have no interest in any of this stuff, celebrity stuff, but this is quite funny, to be fair. And it's been played out on social media. Like Rebecca goes, as I just said to you on the phone, well, so why are you telling us this? Like, do you know, did she really need her point of defence? Maybe she did.
Defending her public image.
Yeah.
How much work did she put into this? So the latest was that, obviously, a lot of the English television shows are want to get them on now, and that Rebecca Vardy is hiring her own forensic investigators to, I guess, try and prove that she wasn't the one who was selling the stories or taking the story, which maybe it is difficult to prove because other people could have had access to her account. Maybe she has it on her iPad and, you know, there's people around who have access to that.
Do you believe her, Nathan? Do you believe her?
It's not up to me to cast judgment.
I did put up a poll, you know, who do you find more credible, Rebecca Luce or Rebecca Vardy? And let's just say Rebecca Luce is winning in a canter.
No, I'm not a
conspiracy. Says a lot about you that you remember who Rebecca Luce is.
It was the only Rebecca I could think of.
No, I'm not a...
That's coming up was like Rebecca from Neighbours.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You all know I'm a big moon landing optimist and actually a
optimist.
Big supporter of the moon programme. These two are friends, so-called friends. How much
they
money?
They were friends.
They were friends. More friends.
They can be friends again. Oh, that's the next.
But how much money are they going to make off this? Do you not think that they're in cahoots and the two of them are going, "Jeez, this would be
you
great."
Think?
This would
oh,
be great.
No.
Do they really need money though? Like, I mean, how much money do they need?
Colleen Rooney doesn't need the cash.
They'll be on Dancing on Ice next.
Oof! Wow.
Then they definitely need the money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Random price list for newspaper stories sourced from Google. The average payment for women's magazines for a strong real-life story goes over two pages is £300 to £500. In exceptional cases, it may go up to £2,000. For rare, sensational, and highly sought-after stories,
like
they go to £5,000. But if it's an extremely sought-after front page involving a well-known celebrity or a member of government, it could catch up to £10,000.
Here's one for you now, right?
Jimmy Vardy makes that in a day or 2 days, probably.
We're going, you know the late-night shows for front of tomorrow morning's newspapers, the tabloids will all cover this, right? How many of the broadsheets, for our sake, the Examiner, the Irish Times and the Irish Indo, how many of them are going to put this in the front page tomorrow? I'd say at least one, maybe two.
100%. Like, you can think of the tabloid headlines already.
The people need it. They deserve it.
Yeah.
People need this story.
Who do you believe? You pointed out that maybe the libel laws in this country are so strict is one of the reasons why the papers don't go down that more
salacious route.
Exactly. 53106 is the text number.
One last question
for you. Are we dedicating the full football show to this?
Yeah. How much money would you need to be getting to go on Dancing on Ice? Like, I do it for about, at the moment I do it for 50 quid. But what would you do it for?
Well, you see, you need to be at a certain level of fame to be asked.
You're an award-winning journalist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Broadcaster.
What was the name of it again? Imro or something or other.
What do you mean, what was the name of it?
Go ahead. So, how much would you need? Would it be six figures?
You're learning a new skill.
Oh, I think to get six figures, maybe I've judged this massively wrong. I would have thought to get six figures on Dancing on Ice, you'd need to be a superstar.
You have to take the expenses for your dog sitter out of that, someone to mind your dog.
So, like, would you get 50 grand? I have no idea what
would
Kev
you do
is getting.
I honestly, I don't
I've
know
tried to get him to tell me, but he's refusing because I suspect he knows we will announce it on air someday.
50 grand? It's a ballpark figure.
You see, you do 50 grand up front, and then as you make your way through it, what, 10 grand an episode? Grand an episode?
Do they all get the same amount? Caprice and Michael Barrymore are getting more shirts.
Who's Caprice, actually?
She's a model.
Yeah. I didn't recognise any of them. I vaguely recognise Kevin, but Michael Barrymore.
I don't recognise Kevin anymore.
No. Well, he's not the person that I used to know.
Where are we starting in the news round, Shane?
Well, good news for the Republic of Ireland, Nathan, because manager Mick McCarthy has been handed a big fitness boost ahead of the upcoming Euro 2020 qualifiers. Defender Shane Duffy has been passed fit for the games away to Georgia and Switzerland. The Brighton defender suffered a calf injury 2 weeks ago, but McCarthy says he's received positive news this afternoon.
A text from him said he'd... He's been given the all clear this morning, he's trained with the lads, so he must have done some football work, so that's good news. He's on a flight this afternoon to travel and he'll be with us to travel to Georgia tomorrow.
In other news, James McLean is also set to be fit for this weekend. He's shaken off a back injury and has trained with the group. David McGoldrick has been ruled out though of Saturday's match in Tbilisi. He's still recovering from hamstring and groin issues, but McCarthy is hopeful the Sheffield United striker can travel to Geneva next week.
Spoke to Didzy yesterday. He was still feeling it, actually, the groin, so I said to him, look, Saturday's going to be far too soon, but if he's all right and he turns out he trains over the weekend, he might still be an option as a sub. I would have thought Swinsland, maybe not starting after 3 weeks, but it'd be a nice problem to have for him to be here, so I had to pick him.
Yeah, so generally, some good news, particularly the fact that Shane Duffy is back. You would have to assume, if he's going to travel,
he's fit to play.
That he's fit to play, because otherwise, well, just keep him and go to Geneva.
What about the boy Hannon? Would you start Conley?
Yeah, throw him in. I know Mick McCarthy.
Johnny, nobody is going to disagree with you because it's just not worth the headache of having to listen to you for 10 minutes.
No. So you put me on for half an hour here. Think of the bloody listeners. But I don't know. I think it's a tough one to call in some respects because he hasn't played any international football.
Well, he's already ahead of the likes of Ronan Curtis. Great worker. Good player.
He wasn't in the squad ahead of him though. I don't get that. Yeah. Like, how was Ronan Curtis ahead of Aaron Connolly in the squad? Like, if they were playing, if it were five aside, like, I mean, there'd be
Ronan Curtis has how many first team games under his belt?
He plays for Portsmouth.
Aaron Connolly hadn't played a league game. Started a league game until last weekend.
I don't.
That's not how Mick McCarthy thinks. Yeah. That's how we think. That clearly, yeah. Mick McCarthy had made that pretty clear. It wasn't how he thought about
it. The funny thing for me is that John Delaney put so much stock into us qualifying for tournaments because the organisation needed the finance for it. We've three games to go, and they think it's not. He didn't think it was worth the gamble to put Aaron Connolly in the squad for the most winnable one of the three.
So are you saying now that John Delaney is gone, there's less of a pressure to qualify? So Mick McCarthy
It's almost as if like you've three games. And you don't think it's a risk not having Aaron Connolly in for the Georgia away game. I thought, like, well, we need to qualify for this tournament, really. The organisation could really badly do with the money.
But there's no way Mick McCarthy isn't picking Aaron Connolly to prove a point. The very fact that Mick McCarthy is only in for the short term surely suggests he will pick whoever, whenever he wants.
And he thought that Curtis was a better option than Connolly.
Well, but he thought that, well, I'm not going to need Aaron Connolly in this campaign. I'm not going to use him, so why include him in the squad? Leave him with the under-21s. He can work away with Stephen Kenny. Mm. I'm not going to bring him, have to talk about him in every press conference and not select him. But obviously he saw enough then last Saturday to go, you know what, he's an option. I may use him, whether to start or off the bench.
Well, strikers feed off confidence and goals. Curtis is banging in goals for Portsmouth. You know, Connolly, yeah, he's got two now for Brighton, but before that, Curtis was probably the one in more goals scoring.
I don't think Curtis has scored. Like he did a good start for Portsmouth, but the last... like 6 months taking away the off season. I don't think he's scored much, and he's a good lad, but he's not Aaron Connolly. I just don't see why Mick needed to see him do what he did against Spurs to know that he's not any better of a player than he was last week, and he should be able to tell that he's that good. Mm. And I like Mick, but I think he's been a bit conservative on this one.
Lads, if you don't have John Giles talk about this for at least half an hour tomorrow night, you can feck off with your sports station of the year. None of us will be working on the sports station of the year if we read out the text that JP sends in that end with, of course, that's all speculation. I see the word paid quite a lot of it, so I think I might skip that text for now. What else we got?
So the Republic of Ireland women's team beat Ukraine 3-2 at Tallaght Stadium last night in their Euro 2021 qualifier. Efforts by Katie McCabe, Rihanna Jarrett and an own goal gave new boss Vera Pauw victory in her first game in charge. It was a crowd of 5,328 that turned up to watch proceedings, but Pauw was disappointed the match wasn't a sellout as billed in advance.
It's a shame because we've been absolutely clear, hand in your tickets, because there were so many people wanted to come who couldn't come because there were no tickets available. And that is really a shame. Maybe we need to think about a different way, because those people will stay. They will come. Everybody will come. And to get the stadium full, we maybe need to think of how can we organize that. But people have done a phenomenal work to get that all those tickets being picked up, because people had to download them. They had to request them. So it's just a shame that they then not come.
And I know the FAI, you know, people in the ticket office were making calls to make sure people were going to use their tickets. Clearly 2,500 didn't. And for the next game in a little while, I know you're away in the next game to Greece, but hopefully that, you know, 8,000 tickets are available for people who will actually come and sit in the seats and cheer you on.
Yeah, and so I'm sure there's specialists in our office. It was amazing what they did now, but now everybody's awake, everybody wants to come, and I'm sure that they find a way to get it really packed.
Ireland's most beloved Vera since Vera and Jack, I suppose, in Coronation Street.
Vera Duckworth.
They were a lovely couple. They had they were just so real life that they were arguing most of the time.
They were just great actors.
Yeah, they were, but they were very believable. It was hard not to warm to them. We have a new Vera though.
Dame Vera Lynn. Was she ever beloved in this part of the world? No.
Yeah.
Anthem Kilbad wouldn't be a fan anyways.
No, and Anthem with a bit of nobility going on. Yeah, but she did make a good point there, though.
It's a real shame that we're talking about
who wasn't there,
rather than going, actually, 5,500 of itself, you would have gone, great crowd of a Tuesday night to go and watch the qualifier. It's just that so many people have said that they were desperate to go, that they were in charge of clubs, they wanted to bring the kids, and there were no tickets available.
Mm. Yeah.
So something has gone wrong, whether it is that season ticket holders are entitled to go to the women's games and the under-21s games, they take their tickets but have no real intention of using them, yeah, but just tick a box. Do they need to actually tick a box, fill something out, print it out? Does it need to be made a bit more difficult?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is when you hear someone in a Dutch accent speak about football, with the exception of Steve McLaren, obviously, it's hard not to sit up and, you know, take it all in.
You're respectful of the route the FAI are going with that strong Dutch influence.
I do know that you know, there was a clamour for a good coach, be it a man or a woman from Ireland. I don't know enough to say that there were coaches here that could have gotten the job, but she seems to have a decent pedigree, and obviously Ruud Dotker would have been heavily influential in that. But certainly, and I know we're speaking to Louise, I think the players have bought into it.
Yeah, and also it actually have a good mix with Eileen Gleeson, who's someone who was very popular and was certainly in the running to get the job. Having her involved as well seems to, I think, mean everybody's pretty happy with this appointment. Bernardo Silva, an update?
Yeah, so Manchester City's Bernardo Silva has been given an extension to respond to a Football Association charge of misconduct. The midfielder sent a tweet to Benjamin Mendy last month, which compared a picture of his teammate in his youth to the mascot of a Spanish chocolate company. He originally had until this evening to put forward his case, but now has until October the 21st.
Ron Nogara coming up at 8 o'clock, but there's been quite a bit of rugby today.
Yeah, Wales have survived a bruising encounter with Fiji to secure their place in the quarterfinals of the Rugby World Cup in Japan. They came back from 10-0 down to win 29-17 in their penultimate group game. Head coach Warren Gatland says the victory came at a bit of a cost.
A couple of dead legs with Josh Adams, and Jonathan Davies got a bit of a whack on his knee. Obviously with Dan Biggert, so it was a removal from the field. And apart from that, just guys are just a bit sore and battered, really, after a tough physical game.
Meanwhile, Scotland will hope an incoming super typhoon doesn't derail their hopes of making the knockout stages. They thrashed Russia 61-0 in Ireland's Pool A this morning to set up a decider with host Japan in a weather-threatened game on Sunday. Scottish captain John Bartley is delighted with how his side, showing 14 changes, handled the occasion today.
We knew the responsibility that we had, so to go in 21-0, I think it was half-time, was brilliant. Then it was one of those games it was really fun to just be part of. We could throw the ball around. Once we knew we sort of had the result in the bag, I think boys were just excited to be out somewhere. Some played that much, and I thought some of the boys were brilliant.
On that typhoon, World Rugby will hold a media briefing at 4 a.m. Irish time tomorrow morning to announce their plans for the final round of pool games. England's Pool C clash with France at the weekend is under threat with winds of up to 180 miles per hour. World Rugby will announce tomorrow if Saturday's match in Yokohama will be moved to a different venue in Japan, or potentially, as you said earlier, behind closed doors.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting because it seems this super typhoon is more super than they first imagined. And this was talked about for months back and everyone thought it'll be fine, particularly from an Irish point of view this weekend, that if the game, and the Irish game looks as though it's going to be perfectly fine, but if the game was called off in advance because maybe the stadium wouldn't be safe, that both sides would get 2 points, which would put Ireland in serious difficulty in terms of qualifying for the quarterfinals. It would be very much out of Ireland's hands. If it was called off at half time, it'd be a similar situation. If it was called off during the second half, whoever's leading wins, and there might even be implications around bonus points. But it does seem actually that England's game with France is under huge threat, and the plan is that there seems to be they're going to move it to a different stadium, and if necessary, and at this stage probably hard to arrange it, they'll play it behind closed doors in front of an empty stadium. Which again is, for a World Cup, it's not an ideal scenario. It's probably okay for that match because England are substantially better than France. Both of them are going to qualify for the quarterfinals either way. But that is still first and second place up for grabs.
It's funny that, you know, with the athletics on in Doha and how utterly questionable it is having marathons run in those conditions, that it's actually the conditions in Japan that has... have a few texts in that I should read out. Dan McDonald, aloe vera. Yeah, it's
Dan,
popular
saving
vera.
His best stuff till he's not in the studio.
Yeah, and he's proud of that one. See, Dan's best jokes are when he puts a bit of thought into them. So he didn't...
the pressure
that wasn't
of the life environment.
Kev Doherty, formerly of Liverpool, formerly of Shelburne, now Drogheda United assistant manager, just sent a very simple text. Hashtag Team Rooney. So he's siding with the Colleen.
That's fair enough. Did you did a actual Twitter poll?
Yeah, Rebecca Luce and...
what was the percentage?
Rebecca Luce, she's like 80-20 over Rebecca Vardy at the moment. Oh. And Rebecca Luce wasn't entirely credible, do you know?
Allegedly. We can't send over that. Can you retract that?
It was all allegations anyway. I didn't believe her.
Speaking of rugby, October 15th, next Tuesday, we're going to be at the Borgosh Energy Theatre with Michael Liner, Brian O'Driscoll, Keith Wood, Paul Howard, Malcolm O'Kelly, Danny O'Reilly from the Coronas, and former captain of South Africa, Bobby Skinstead. Offtheball.com/events is the place to go for tickets. It's all in association with Heineken, official worldwide partner to Rugby World Cup Japan 2019. Visit drinkaware.ie. Some really sad news from Down, Shane.
Yeah, very sad news today that two-time All-Ireland winner and forward Down boss, Eamon Burns, has passed away at the age of 55. Burns recently managed Down between 2016 and 2018, leading them, of course, to the Ulster final in 2017. In 1994, he lined out at wing-back as Down beat Dublin in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, of course, they were the Jubilee team this year during the All-Ireland finals. That's very sad, obviously, very young age, Eamon Burns.
And young age and, by all accounts, very, very healthy man, like, who lived a good life. I think he was a PE teacher. And desperately sad. I couldn't believe that when I heard it this afternoon.
Yeah, sad news. I should mention as well, the Ulster Senior Football Championship draw for 2020 was made this morning. Reigning champions Donegal will face a quarter-final clash against Tyrone. The Ulster preliminary round sees Monaghan take on Cavan. So it's the winner of Monaghan-Cavan against Antrim, Donegal versus Tyrone, Derry versus Armagh, and Fermanagh against Down in the quarter-finals.
It's a, as usual, a tasty Ulster Championship draw as a Monaghan man. First up against Cavan.
Yeah, time to get revenge. Banty's back, Nathan.
Banty's back, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
Is it what you want?
Well, Banty.
Yeah.
Look, the backroom team is very strong. So it remains to be seen. Look, you can have whatever opinion you like on Banty, but if he wins the first couple of league games next year and things start looking up, then I guess you'll judge him on his results.
It's only when you look at the draws and listen, they've been pretty low key over the past few days, that you realise this two-tier system is a nonsense, that it makes it so difficult for certain teams to reach the qualifiers. So unless you're a Division 1 or Division 2 team, you won't play the qualifiers unless you reach your provincial final. So that's one of the proposals and seen as the most likely. Now, they still haven't decided whether that's the Division 1 and Division 2 teams that start the season or the Division 1 and Division 2 that end the season. Yeah. So, for example, Cork, if they lose to Kerry, they're down to Tier 2, no chance in the qualifiers. You look at a county like Leitrim, who, if they want to qualify for the qualifiers, would probably need to beat Mayo and Roscommon. Whereas then, in the Munster Championship, you look at Limerick might need to beat Waterford and Tipperary. It's just such an unfair system. Derry would probably need to beat Armagh and either Donegal or Tyrone to even be allowed in the qualifiers.
Yeah, I don't know what the future is, to be honest, for the inter-county setup, because I love the tradition of it. I loved going to games, watching Galway and Leitrim play when Leitrim had a chance back in the day. Declan Darcy scoring a goal in Tuam and great days like that. But at the moment, it's very hard to get anyway excited about the football championship draw.
Anything else before we wrap?
All good.
You're done?
Yeah.
All right, good man, Shane. Johnny, great stuff. I think we set a high bar in our defence of sports programme of the year.
I'm staying on.
You'll come back to the tabloid story in the football show, undoubtedly.
We might try and move on. It'll be difficult, but we might try and move on. All right, Johnny, you stay with us. Louise Quinn is up next to talk about the Republic of Ireland's victory over Ukraine last night.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.